regression coefficients. That's one of the terms criminologist and statistician Jeffrey Fagan explained to the judge in the courtroom during the stop-and-frisk trial. How the Columbia University professor and his team arrived at conclusions is what came under the microscope. Attorney Eric Hellerman is with Covington & Burling, an experienced litigator of class action civil rights cases against government entities.
Well, I think the high point so far is that Professor Fagan explained in great detail the statistics, which are not easy to understand, but they're extremely valid and long-recognized scientific methods. And he explained through those statistics the basis for his opinion that racial composition of a neighborhood predicts stops over and above crime after controlling for crime and other socioeconomic conditions related to crime, and his opinions that blacks and Hispanics are stopped more frequently than whites after controlling for all of those conditions and are more likely to be stopped regardless of the racial composition of the neighborhood.
The federal judge, Shira Scheinlin, examined charts shown very carefully. Evidence showed even for mostly white or mixed neighborhoods, blacks and Hispanics are disproportionately stopped. In white neighborhoods, for example, with high reports of drugs, there are less stops than in black and Hispanic neighborhoods with fewer reports of drugs. Darius Charney is with the Center for Constitutional Rights.
We heard more powerful testimony from Professor Fagan about the, you know, huge racial disparities in the stop patterns throughout the city over the last 9 years. And, you know, we also had, a little impromptu seminar on statistics, which just kind of further reinforced how, you know, these racial disparities really cannot be explained away by crime or anything else that the NYPD tries to say is the reason for the racial disparities.
It seemed like the judge was having a course in statistics.
Absolutely, which I think we all were, which was, I thought, pretty interesting. And in the end, I learned a lot.
Yeah, we all learned a lot. So basically what the various charts were showing is what?
That even after you control for, you know, crime patterns, you control for police deployment patterns, that at the end of the day, race is really what's driving the stop patterns throughout New York City.
Charney says that's what this case is about, ending race-based stop and frisk. Each day outside the courtroom, groups hold rallies and demonstrations in support of the stop and frisk trial. On day 12, women from Black Women's Blueprint spoke out. Marilyn Lewis says she's raising awareness of how the practice affects Black and Latino women. She's holding a large black sign with white print.
The sign basically says, I should not be illegally stopped by the police because they think no one will care what happens to black women.
Do you think that no one cares what happens to black women?
Unfortunately, there is a big population of people, particularly the press, that does not care about what happens to black women when it comes to stop and frisk, because this is an issue that has been affecting black and brown women. Unfortunately, it either goes unreported and or does not receive the amount of media attention that it deserves.
Elizabeth Rossi, also with Black Women's Blueprint, agrees.
Black women are often silenced in the stop and frisk movement and only seen as mother and wives of people who have been stop and frisk, but black women in particular are stop and frisk based on issues of sexuality, gender, and racism. So we want to talk about all those things and highlight how black women are affected.
I spoke with a young black Latina woman who was stopped a few times, but also the cops hit on her.
Like asked on a date, phone number, something like that?
Groped her and hit on her.
Groped her, yeah. A lot of women are sexually harassed, and that's often silenced too, because women don't know where to go after they've been sexually harassed by the police, because you're supposed to be able to go to the police. And so that's actually another huge issue around how women are affected, particularly women of color, where people feel that women of color are allowed to be sexualized in that way. And so it's also another silent issue that needs to be addressed and have more awareness about.
Jasmine Burnett holds three condoms to illustrate how black and Latino women are targeted based on race and gender.
They're very much linked in terms of the amount and the capacity at which the police come into our communities and they stop and frisk us. We're groped sometimes. We're sexually harassed. And so we wanted to come out here just to show an example. So through examples like we're doing with the three condoms. You know, why would someone want to get rid of three condoms? Because if you're a woman and you're caught with three condoms and you're stopped and frisked, it could be used against you in court as you being a sex worker. So we wanted to make sure that we raised awareness about this issue. Because when we talk about violence, we talk about the violent nature of stop and frisk. It definitely focuses on men and not necessarily the sexual violence that's committed against women. So we want to make sure we lifted that up, both the historical impact and this and how it feeds into this current impact that we're dealing with right now.
The Center for Constitutional Rights says NYPD stop and frisk practices are having a devastating impact on the lives of thousands of New Yorkers every single day. They say stop and frisk is often the first interaction individuals have with the criminal justice system, and it carries with it negative long-term consequences for people stopped. The United Nations Human Rights Commission is now taking up the issue. They will question the United States on steps taken to address discriminatory and unlawful use of stop and frisk practices by officers of the NYPD. This is in an upcoming review by the UN's Human Rights Council of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.